Welcome to the latest episode of Pasha. For this edition, we look into how women in Ghana pay a heavy price for not having children. I'm Caroline Saudi, and we've spoken to Jasmine Fledishohan, lecturer in sociology and social work at Lancaster University. They coo, they gurgle, they babble, they squeal and giggle. The sounds that babies make brings happiness to parents. But not all women are able to experience this because of infertility or other reproductive issues. In Ghana, children have high societal value and there's pressure on mothers to have babies. But about 1 in 5 couples have difficulty conceiving or carrying a pregnancy to term.
Having children can bring great joy to couples. Children can be a source of pride and emotional fulfillment in Ghana and elsewhere. It's also really important for continuation of the lineage, continuation of the family name. And so marriage and reproduction are not just a private matter for the couple in Ghana. They're really a family affair. The whole family has an interest in the couple reproducing. And so because of that, there's tremendous pressure on the family for the couple to conceive and to continue that family lineage. Childbearing is also something that earns women social status because it's an expected part of adult life. People often rely on their adult children to care for them in old age when state support is weak. So they're a really important source of old age support. And even at end of life, children are expected to pay for funerary rites, to make funeral arrangements. And so even in terms of burial and end of life, not having children can create real problems.
When a Ghanaian woman has not become pregnant after an expected period of time, rumors of infertility invariably start circulating. The gossip and stigma creates a very heavy burden.
It's estimated that about 1 in 3 marriages in Ghana end in divorce, and about 1 in 5 couples in Ghana experience infertility. So this is really not just a small portion of the population. This is a substantial minority of the population who experience infertility in Ghana. But in the background of this, we also see that fertility desires and fertility rates, so the average number of children a woman has in her lifetime, that's been declining in Ghana. So in fact, in the last 30 years, it's declined from about 6.5 children per woman on average in 1988 to about 4 children on average as of 2018. So the fertility context is really changing in Ghana. So I traveled to Ghana in 2008, and I did some interviews with Ghanaian women that highlighted some of the difficulties that stemmed from their experiences with infertility. So women talked about being excluded from adult conversations, feeling that they've been stigmatized, ostracized, in part because oftentimes infertility is attributed to witchcraft or a history of abortions. So there's a bit of misinformation about some of the causes of infertility. And of course, women who experienced stigmatization reported feeling distressed about their inability to conceive, distressed about being excluded from normal social conversations, social settings. And they also talked a little bit about depression when they weren't able to have children.
During Jasmine Fledishohan's study, she found that infertility affected couples. Women who had difficulties conceiving faced a much greater risk of their relationships ending.
I looked at 2 different ways of measuring infertility. So the first was a measure of biomedical infertility. And the idea with biomedical infertility was that I looked at whether or not a woman failed to become pregnant after 2 or more years of unprotected intercourse. The second measure was a self-identified or self-reported infertility measure. So the idea here is, what do women feel about their own ability to conceive? What is their perception of their own ability to conceive? And this distinction is really important because women might actually suspect difficulties conceiving and experience social pressure related to their perceived difficulties conceiving, even if there aren't biomedical indications of infertility. And this is really important because it highlights that actually infertility has quite a strong impact on relationship disruption, on relationship stability. But it also shows that perceptions matter. It's how women view their own bodies that's associated with relationship stability. And in fact, that perception is probably shaped by partners and families' perceptions about women's reproductive capacity. It's shaped by broader social and cultural notions about reproduction, about when we should start to worry and start to suspect that we might be having difficulties conceiving.
Prior research only focused on married women, and Jasmine's findings were startling.
The second question that I wanted to answer is, does this risk of relationship disruption, this risk of relationship breakdown, differ for married versus unmarried couples? So in 1998, about 1 in 5 women between ages of 15 and 49 were never married. But by 2008, this was up to about 1 in 3 women. Along the same time period, cohabiting also increased from about 5.5% of couples to 13.1% of couples. And while most childbearing in Ghana still happens within the context of marriage, there is some fertility that's outside of the context of marriage. And in fact, that non-marital fertility, that fertility outside of the context of marriage, is growing in prevalence in Ghana. So some people in particular enter relationships outside of marriage with the specific purpose of testing their fertility. So if they suspect difficulties conceiving, they might go out and try to conceive with another partner to test whether or not they're in fact experiencing infertility and whether or not that's their infertility or a partner's infertility. And this is really important because actually some relationships might end due to infertility without ever progressing to marriage.
The best way to go about managing the problem is to look into dealing with the issues from a social perspective. But breaking people's perspectives and beliefs isn't always easy.
One possibility is to use public information campaigns to raise awareness of infertility, and particularly infertility as a couple-level problem, right? To highlight the fact that it isn't just the woman's fault, but this is a couple-level problem and we need couple-level solutions. It would also be great to see promotion of diverse family types as valid life options, also potentially through public information campaigns. Part of that could include showing childless couples, showing small families. So this is particularly helpful for couples who experience secondary infertility. In other words, they've had one child, they've maybe had two children, but they struggled to conceive additional children that they might want. So they might have quite a small family and smaller than they might otherwise like. So promoting childless couples, promoting small family size, promoting adoption as valid life options and as diverse family types. So the World Health Organization identifies reproductive health as the capability to reproduce and the freedom to decide if, when, and how often to do so. And the above solutions don't really resolve this issue, don't really resolve this idea of reproductive health. So really, I think what we need is to bring the voices of infertile people themselves directly into conversation with policymakers to be incorporated into policy, into family planning, into public health campaigns.
A concerted effort is needed to redefine the family picture to include childless couples. This might help highlight the diversity of family life in Ghana, reduce stigma, and allow women without children to feel included and stable in their relationships. Thanks for joining us for this edition, produced by Azeya Patel and Shalan Govinda. We hope you'll join us again for more riveting stories from around the continent. Bye for now.